Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Of course, in an hour from right now, first pitch, Yankees and the Red Sox, as we'll find out tonight who the Blue Jays play in the American League Divisional Series on Saturday. If it's the Red Sox, it's an 11 a.m. start. If it's the Yankees, it's a 2 o'clock start. As someone said, I hope the Jays take on the Yankees because they don't want to watch baseball at 11 in the morning. So there you have it for that pick.
And we were doing what you thought the best matchup would be for the Jays. Yankees or the Red Sox, and I'd say I'm going to do quick math here, but 66% are saying Yankees.
1-877-332-8255 if you want to weigh in on that. But right now we're going to take you to Ottawa. The play-by-play voice Red Blacks is AJ Jakubik ahead of the Riders and the Red Blacks. AJ, first time I've been able to speak to you since all those dramatic rule changes that happened last week. Where are you on the conspiracy theory that the league is dying and they're just going to be NFL Canada?
I don't believe in conspiracy theories, so I actually like the changes. I understand why there's some pushback. I think it's good to have dialogue. I understand why some people wanted to be consulted if you're a GM, a coach, a player, whatever. But the reality is, if you want to make significant change, and you know the commissioner was brought in to make significant changes, like we'd be here till 21:95 if he was talking to every coach, every player, every manager. So I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. I can't sit here and tell you it's going to be better, it's going to be worse, because quite frankly, we have no idea in 2 years how it's going to look. Are we going to see 60 more touchdowns? I don't know. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see more teams going for it on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. Are we going to see that? Are we going to see more punts? No idea. I think the rules committee has, you know, some big decisions ahead in terms of, you know, what are you going to do to help avoid some of those unintended consequences, like teams punting on 3rd and 12 from the other team's 28 and coffin corner punts. Do you just not allow teams to punt out of bounds now, like you see with kickoffs? I wouldn't hate that rule because we want to see more returns in the game, not less, and that's probably the one thing I'll lament the most of all these rules is, you know, those field goal return misses, which get you out of your seat each and every time. And, you know, one of the most exciting plays in the CFL. So we'll see how it plays out in a couple of years. I'm open-minded about the situation because the reality is you've got a league where 7 of 9 teams are losing money. And I do think if you try to modernize the product, and, you know, some of those things like moving the goalpost to the back, to me, are modernizing it, not Americanizing it, then I think, you know, it's a positive thing. But we'll find out in a couple of years. We'll find out if there's going to be more scoring, less scoring, more touchdowns, if it actually pays off. Because unlike minor league baseball, like, I can tell you exactly how the new ABS system is going to work, because last year I went to the College World Series and then saw AAA ball in Omaha. And I also went to a game in Syracuse 2 years ago, and they were working out the system, and I thought, wow, this is pretty good, pretty seamless. They're not sitting here waiting like Andre Prue and his crew for 45 seconds waiting for the replay to come down, and it was seamless. It was good. So I can tell you next year, when it comes in Major League Baseball, it's going to work. I can't tell you on this in this one, but I'm excited to see how it plays out.
AJ, we had a conversation after the rule changes came down about what they, because Stu kind of made it fairly obvious, like, you know, buckle in, folks, this isn't it. We're working on other things. What do you need him to work? Well, not need, wrong word. What would you like Stu to work on next if he is going to be making some tweaks?
Yeah, to me, the two biggest things that I'm not a guy that's like, I get frustrated when I read articles, and it goes both ways, that just say, this is a better product than in the NFL, just because. And it's like, well, why? Tell me why. I like both products. I watch the CFL. I watch the NFL. I love them both. I just love football. So for me, it's not about, this is a hill that needs to be, basically that you're going to die on for a certain rule. There's a couple of things. Like, I don't want to see for sure any more changes. Like, I don't want to see more fair catches, for example. Like, that's one. I don't care what side of the border you're on. Like, to me, if you're saying, you know what the CFL needs is more fair catches, to me, you're then trying to say, well, we want NFL or bust rules because we just like their rules better. To me, you've got to look at each and every rule and say, well, is this better or is this worse? Like, I never liked the Rouge. I've been watching CFL football growing up in Edmonton. I remember the early 80s team, so essentially 45 years. I've always hated the Rouge. I've always kind of counted back in terms of, okay, this is what the score would and should be. And I'm glad that they tweaked it and didn't get rid of it altogether, but I like the fact that they modified that. I like the fact that you can't win a game on a missed field goal. I don't like the argument, well, they pushed the ball down the field to the 12, and so, like, they should be able to punt it through the end zone and win the game. I don't like that at all. Just like I don't like the punt on third and 18, which, by the way, is not just a Canadian rule. It is just a CFL rule that Jason Moss has been able to take advantage of. Sorry, second and 18, you punt the ball a yard, past the line of scrimmage, you get a first down. I can tell you, I went to a junior football game in Ottawa a couple of years ago where, and this was unintended, the Ottawa Sooners were getting hammered by Windsor. It was like a third and 18. They punted. It was a bad punt. The punter recovered 17 and a half yards down the field, and everyone's going nuts. They think middle of the second quarter, they just got their first down of the game. Wrong. Here come the chains. He was like a foot short. Turnover on downs. That's the way it should be. Rather than third, you know, second and 18, you get a yard, you get a first down because of some stupid loophole. Like, that's one of those changes to me that is an obvious one. But I just, like, for me, I love the CFL game. I really do. Just like I love the NFL game. But the two things that I dislike about the CFL game, too many field goals, and I think that's what they were trying to address here with those goalposts.
Yeah,
many quarterback sneaks. Now, the problem, I can't sit here and tell you, well, there's too many quarterback sneaks, so the obvious move is to change the yard off the ball. But, again, going back to potential unintended consequences, if you change the yard off the ball and all of a sudden those quarterback sneaks are not automatic, well, then what are the unintended consequences? Are you going to all of a sudden see your quarterbacks running for their lives more than what we see right now? I don't want to see quarterbacks getting hurt left, right, and center. We saw too many quarterbacks go down this year. I think the starting quarterbacks in the CFL this year, when they're playing, pretty good product. When they're not playing, all of a sudden the product goes down a little bit. And you see it in the NFL as well. There's been a lot of starting quarterbacks go down there. So I do think QB sneaks and field goals, too many of them. But again, I like this move because it takes one step. I think I'd be leery of seeing other changes to the game and the way it's played. I think if they look at other things around the league, that's great, until we actually see how this is going to play out in 2 years. And then all of a sudden, if you get 2 years in and there's too many punts and not enough touchdowns, then you maybe modify some more things and go from there. But to me, this has already been, you know, probably a shock to the system to a lot of longtime fans. Let's see how it plays out and go from there.
AJ Jakubik, the voice of the Red Blacks. Let's turn our attention to the team the Riders are playing tomorrow. 4-10, a disappointing year in Ottawa. Again, the health of Drew Brown was a major factor on that. A talented team, though, AJ. They have a bunch of like 3-point losses and 2-point losses. I'm looking at this one tomorrow going, don't sleep on the Red Blacks, AJ. I don't know. You're the play-by-play voice. You watch it a lot closer than I do and see them practice and the way Bob Dice works. I still think this is a very talented football team the Riders are up against tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, one of the good things about the rule changes is we've been able to talk about the CFL and not have to talk about the Red Blacks the last couple of weeks. So that's been a real positive because it's been a tough season. It's been a real disappointing season. I've called all 11 years of Ottawa Red Blacks football. I've been to every game, home, away, preseason, playoffs, whatever. And I can tell you, without a doubt, I don't even know what number two is, but without a doubt, that last Red Blacks loss, the worst in franchise history. No doubt about it. They had terrible teams. I mean, look, they won 14 games in 4 years, so they had bad teams for 4 years. But two of those teams in 2019 and 2021 just weren't talented enough, weren't good enough. And so while, you know, there's a lot of disappointing losses in those 4 years and those 2 years for sure, you know, look at the back half of the 2019 Ottawa Red Blacks. They played the other two teams, Toronto and BC, that were in the bottom of the, like, they missed the playoffs as well, and they were bad teams, and they lost all of those games. I think they played five, three against Toronto and two against BC in their last nine games of the season and got blown out in four of them. So I've seen a lot of bad Red Blacks football over the last 6 years or six seasons. You know, this will be the fifth out of six. But the frustrating thing about this team is that you're right. When they put it together, they should be better. They should be a lot better. And that has been frustrating. The last game was a prime example. I mean, they went seven games without a first quarter touchdown. That's hard to do. And all of a sudden they come out and they look like a football team. They look like a team that you thought, okay, maybe there's a chance here. Of the way they played in the first quarter against Winnipeg. They dominated that football game. And then all of a sudden, one play. And it's a bad play. I get it. You missed it. It's the play we talked about that, you know, I'm probably going to lament the most about the new rule changes. That missed field goal return for a touchdown, Trey Vavil. And, you know, next thing you know, a 10-0 game is a 7-7 game. And at that point, like, if you're not mentally fragile, you go out and you say, well, we've dominated this game. Let's just keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to win this football game going away. But then they started to, you know, make mistakes and interception here and fumble there and bad penalty here. And it's like just honestly the worst loss I've ever seen from a Red Blacks standpoint in 11 years of calling their games. I mean, you lost to a team that completed three passes for 54 yards, no touchdowns and one interception. And you were down 26-11 until the last play of the game. So, like, it was just as demoralizing a defeat as you could imagine. So what I'm curious this week, like, I have no idea what we're going to see this week. This Red Blacks team, they've been good off bye weeks. They're 2-0 coming off a bye week. So that's a positive. And also they know their status. There's no more guessing about, well, maybe if we do this, we'll do this. No, you know you need to win four in a row to have a chance. You win the next one, now you got Montreal home and home. If you win those, that you're still alive no matter what. I mean, how often do you see it where you've got a team that could get eliminated on Friday night but controls their own destiny right to the last weekend if they win their next three games because Montreal is off and then they play the Alouettes home and home. Now, do I think the Ottawa Redblacks are going to win four in a row and they've only won three games?
Oh, we lost AJ Jakubik. Rocking downtown Ottawa, potentially. Hope everything's okay there. There's AJ Jakubik, voice
it sounded
of the Ottawa Redblacks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that loss, three completions for Streveler and they beat the Redblacks. Yikes. Yeah. But they've been without Drew Brown. It's disappointing that Ottawa is where they are. Dave Naylor and Britton Gray both saw this team in the Grey Cup. Of course, they both had their mulligans and both picked Montreal to be in the Grey Cup. Thanks to AJ for the chat here on the Green Zone. We will hear from Dave Naylor coming up as well in just a little bit on the Green Zone. We'll bring you up to date on the baseball playoffs. Who's moving on? And what to expect tonight with the Yankees and the Red Sox on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with the ear in the Green Zone. The Cubbies up 3-0 on the Padres right now. Tigers advance. Red Sox, Yankees. 6:08 first pitch in New York City tonight.
New York City. I'm glad that the Tigers moved on.
Y'all be interested in the Tigers. The Tigers are right there with the Jays battling for that top AL spot. And then
they just crashed.
So they're dangerous against the Seattle Mariners. If they get their game back all of a sudden, Tigers are dangerous against those Mariners.
I like that win.
Unfortunately for Kevin Martell in our newsroom, who's a big Seattle Mariners fan. So look out for the Tigers. We'll see who the Jays play. But right now, our CFL analyst, insider, Dave Naylor, he's heard a lot on social media since the rule changes, conspiracies, They're going to go to NFL Canada, merge with UFL. They're going to go to four downs within 2 years. Are any of these conspiracy theories going to turn out to be true, Dave? What do you think?
Well, I think the big thing is the fear that this is a step towards something else, right? And then you've got to sort of, okay, what's the something else? And people think that there's, you know, league office and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment are determined to drive the league down a certain path. And look, I think this isn't total lunacy. And I'll, here's where I'm going with this is I think one of the things that the changes in the rules or the dimensions provides is an opportunity to fit a CFL stadium in far, far more places than you could otherwise. And that means expansion. And I don't think Stuart Johnston's been a real secret on this one. Like, he's talked about expansion and that's not on the top of his to-do list. But, and we know that expansion in Canada has proved, if not impossible, very, very difficult. So, you know, I think that's part of it. Now, for some people, that's a good thing because they'll look at it and say, well, okay, if this is setting that up, then I'm okay with this. Maybe I'm more okay with these changes if I know that's the goal. But then there's the other crowd that's like, well, if that's even worse, if we're gonna do two things I don't want. We're gonna expand outside of Canada, and we're gonna alter the rules. I don't know whether people would have taken it better if the league had leaned into that one a little more and said, you know, we believe this improves our game and it opens the door for opportunities for expansion that might not otherwise exist. I think it would be a lot harder if in 4 years you want to expand and you said, oh, by the way, before we do that, we got to change the game first. I think it's a lot easier if you put some space between the change of the game and eventual expansion. So it's not based on lunacy, but it is. I will be interested to see if the people who say they're never going to gain. So I guess here's the big debate I'm having. Let me, before I ramble too much further. It's the whole idea that if I improve something to my house, okay, and then I go down the street and I see there's a house that actually my house kind of looks a little more like that house because I've made these changes. It doesn't necessarily mean I was trying to copy my neighbor. You know what I mean? We both just decided that goalposts shouldn't be on the goal line. The NFL decided in 1974. The CFL decided it in 2025. You know, again, I don't think the game is markedly closer to the NFL game than it's ever been. Certainly optically it's closer to the NFL game. But as I said, when I talk to people within the game, they're processing the changes as changes on their own, not holding up a mirror to the NFL.
And we're NFL Canada by 2028. Dave, come on. Let's be real. I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
Just, well, I want to throw something out there because I have said something similar to what you just said, Dave, that it isn't crazy for people to take a look at what happened, what Stu dropped on us a couple of weeks back and go, hold on, where's this going? Because it lended itself to it. And I'm pretty sure, like, we've met Stu. He's not a dumb man. He was aware.
He's a smart guy.
He's a
very smart guy.
So yeah. He knew that was coming. Now, here's what I think is a fun conversation, because he said, listen, there's more coming. We're going to be behind the scenes working on fixing the game, the things that we think get in the way of this thing being a good product on the field. And Jamie and I just had a Rain Man moment when he went through the depth chart to try to explain how the designated nationalized American rule is going to be rolled out in Ottawa tomorrow for the Riders. And he has everybody, including the water boys, involved in the conversation. And
it's the
I just
rule.
About had a seizure. If that could tell me, Dave, for the love of, tell me that has got to be on the list of things that Stu is considering ending.
I would suggest strongly. In fact, if I could take a bet on that right now, I would absolutely do it. And it's just because look at the criteria that Stuart Johnston has applied to this thing. It's like, we're going to look at things that on the surface may have just ignored and ask, why are we doing this? And is this the best way we can do it? And that's basically what he did, you know, with the goalposts, right? With the two teams on the same sidelines. It's basically what he did and said, why are we doing this? Why are we having missed field goals win games? Why are we doing this? I think that absolutely, because I guarantee, because it doesn't make sense. Like, nobody would say that's a good thing for your league. It became a necessary thing in the heat of a 11th-hour CBA negotiation, but it ain't a good thing. And I would say that kind of stuff, I would say strongly, will not be part of the future of the CFL.
That's going to be a CBA negotiation, though.
Yeah, that's
the CBA. That's 4 years away. That's 4 years away, right? I think it's four. I may be wrong. Time moves faster than I realize sometimes.
So, do you think there's going to be a world we live in where there's no starting ratio anymore? None. Done. It's over. Half the roster's Canadian, half the roster's American or global, but we're not going to mandate how many Canadians you have to start.
I think that could happen. I believe that could happen. And by the way, you would still have to have Canadian starters because there aren't enough Americans on your roster to take all 24 starting spots, right? And then some are going to play special teams. You've got a kick returner or a kicker or a punter. And if you got dead depth American somewhere else, you'd get to five Canadians pretty quick. And then, you know, teams would opt to play more. So, I think that, you know, those are the kinds of changes that I think we could see. Would I be surprised if under this leadership, the ratio altogether is gone, that there's no place for Canadians on the roster? It's just best players play lineup. I don't think we would see that. No. But could we see changes to how many of you had to start and things like that? I think you could see that if, again, let's use Stuart Johnston's criteria. One of them is, you know, the best game. Does this ratio, the way it's employed right now, give us the best game we could have? And I think that will probably be a question he'll try to answer. And if he finds the answer is no, then he'll probably try and change it. That would be my guess. You think of the criteria that he uses, apply it to any area of the game, and I think you get your answer.
Real quick, Dave, before we get to the National Football League, do you think Stuart Grey Cup Week will have more announcements at his State of the League on the Friday?
I think that the period around Grey Cup will probably be very noisy with announcements. Yeah. Okay. I don't know about the Friday, like from the podium. I mean, that's the thing. I heard somebody say the other day the proposed changes, and I had to correct them and go, they're not proposed. They're done. Like that's the sort of stunning part of this, right? There's no more discussion. It's as Nathan Burke lamented, it's over. It's done. And I do think I would expect, you know, just knowing how this is rolling out, that the Grey Cup period will be very noisy with announcements from the CFL.
The one thing that I will say, and we had a conversation about this earlier in the Green Zone, Dave, is that I think it's important that, and I know you guys at TSN are dealing with this because you're being bombarded. And listen, I understand as well that there is a separation in the world that we live in, that the social media world is not the real world.
Correct.
But I don't think you can ignore the faction of the CFL fan base that is bothered by the possible direction that Stu may or may not be taking the league, and just dismissing them because it's Twitter world or they're of a certain vintage or whatever, I think is a huge mistake, because I think there is a lot of people that are concerned. I mean, we're having a conversation right now with you about the CFL rule changes, and how long ago did this go drop?
Oh, yeah. 10 days ago.
10 days ago.
Yeah.
And we're still getting texts. It's happening right now.
The conversation is still, I mean, I was over talking to a guy who was selling his house, you know, on my street the other day, and blah, blah, blah. First thing he wants to talk about, CFL rule changes. I guarantee you that in downtown Toronto, I would not have randomly run into a CFL conversation on a Tuesday, and it was a Tuesday, in the middle of the day, if the CFL had not changed its rules. So, yeah, this conversation is percolating within CFL circles, beyond CFL circles, no question. And I think, you know, here's the thing, Locker. You've identified a really interesting access point, because every time this league has wanted to do something, you know, to change, they've always peered over the edge of the cliff and gone, but what if the people who love us leave and we don't get new people who love us? Like, that's always been the dilemma. And this seems like the one time that they're willing to say, we're going to take that chance. We think the people who are going to be angry will come with us eventually. And we think we're going to be able to sort of, you know, take the game in a direction where, you know, we can attract new viewers.
Dave, I agree with that. But I don't think they should be ignored.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think it's tough, though, because there's no compromise on this one, right? It's not like, because somebody asked me, like, do you think they'll roll back some of the things? I was like, Nope, I do not. Now, I think there's tweaks to come in the Rules Committee, and that's what the Rules Committee is for, so to make sure the application of the rules is going to go smoothly. But we're not going to see any of these genies stuff back in the bottle. No. I think it will be, it's already been interesting, sort of, but as this happens, I think there's going to be a lot of, it'd be interesting to report on how much of this is just, people shaking their fists at the sky and whether or not the league actually does lose fans.
That is Dave Naylor, CFL insider here on the Green Zone from TSN. It's been an interesting 10 days since Stuart Johnston disclosed the rule changes coming in 2026 and then the field adjustments in 2027. More coming up on the Green Zone. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best. And you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. We begin with the chump. A baseball analyst, Ben McDonald, didn't get the memo that his network, ESPN, carries hockey.
Triple header that night. Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, Kings. Ben, I know you got to pay on this. Panthers, three-peat this year. What do you think?
If you say so. I mean, good luck to them. Are you asking if I'm going to be watching?
No, you'll be watching, of course, because you work for ESPN. You'll be watching Friday night. I'm
there is zero chance I'll be watching. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Where will you be?
I will be somewhere, but there's zero chance I'll be watching.
All right. The play-by-play guy's like, no, Ben, we work for ESPN. It's on ESPN. You're watching, right? No way. No, Ben, ESPN. Of course you're watching. Not a chance.
He gave him, like, three... Good Lord.
Ben McDonald's our chump for...
A good chump.
You want to champ...
Bazooka Joe!
Joe Milton, backup quarterback. He was getting furniture delivered, and the delivery guy wanted him to throw him the football.
I can't throw. I can't do it.
I would.
Yeah.
All right.
I like everything my dad, not my family. Yeah. Look.
Should I do it for real?
Yeah.
So he just gunned it.
He says, throw it at my chest, not my face. And Joe Milton looks at his buddy, says, should I do it? He goes, yeah. And just rockets it.
I'm surprised he didn't break a finger.
Oh, my goodness. The gentleman did not catch the pass, by the way.
No. And it went right through his hands. Just about hit him in the head.
Almost went right through his torso is where it went. But
you got to champ him because most guys would be like, they just like soft. But no. Like,
you want me to throw it for real?
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Here you go, kid. Hang in there.
It's like Brett Favre back in the days. He used to break his receiver's fingers in practice with the fastball. Joe Milton, have some fun. As the guy, hey, he asked for it. He's like, hey, throw me the ball. Okay.
Boom.
There you go. Champs and chumps here on the Green Zone.